Growing up, I loved reading these books. It was a series of books. It was called the We Were There books. And I don't know if any of y'all read it. They were in the 50s and 60s, maybe they were written. And they were written from the perspective of a young boy who was basically interjected into a story. And one of them was called the We Were There at the Battle of Gettysburg. And We Were There on the Oregon Trail, which was my favorite. We Were There at Pearl Harbor. Those type of things. And so as I was preparing this morning, I kept thinking about that. That just kept coming up in my mind about what would it have been like. There's Mark texting me, I guess. What would it have been like to literally walk with Jesus? And what were they going through? So before we move into the story of Luke 11, 5 through 14, the friend at midnight, before we do, I'd like for y'all to indulge me and kind of jump into the journey with me and put your mindset into We Were There. So we're going to call this We Were There with the Friend at Midnight. So that's what I'd like to do, and then we're going to jump into it further. So you got to lean in. So just pretend like we're sitting over dinner and reminiscing and thinking about these things, and we'll go from there. All right, is everybody in? Is anybody going to reject that offer? No, everybody's in. Chris, are you in? Chris is in. Good. Okay. All right. Whew. I was a little nervous that Chris wasn't going to accept it, but I'm glad you're in, Chris. So, do y'all remember? Well, Andrew, do you remember? It was your brother when Jesus told him to go catch the fish, throw the net out, and do you remember that? And all the fish almost sunk the boat. Do you remember? He put it on the other side. Right. That's right. Or how about? Do y'all remember when he healed the leper and the paralytic? I mean, that was unbelievable what he did there, that type of thing. And Bob, you're a recovering lawyer, I think you'd like to say, but do you remember all the Pharisees and the scribes trying to trick him and corner him? Do you remember that and how he always cornered them back? It was really an incredible thing. Or here's one. What about when he prayed all night for the 12? He prayed, Raymond, do you remember that? He prayed all night. I mean, it was really mind-blowing. And then the crowds that would be around him and the healings and the delivering of demons. And the teaching. Oh, my gosh, the teaching. Do you remember when he was up on that hill and all those people around? I think they call it the Sermon on the Mount. Do y'all kind of remember that one? When unbelievable teaching. And then he talked about the farmer. There was some story about the farmer and casting the seed out. It was good. And then, I mean, who would have believed, Wally, I know you and I talked about this, who would have believed that the Samaritan would have been the one helping that guy that was beat up on the side of the road? I mean, I still can't get over it. And what about that night when we were on the boat? Jeff, you remember being on the boat? The winds were coming, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was hard, and we thought we were going to die. I mean, you said that to me. You said, I think we're going to die. And what did Jesus do? He stood up, and he rebuked the wind and the wave, and it was calm. Do y'all remember that story? You remember that, Kenny? I mean, it was really kind of unbelievable. And then, I'll tell you one I'll never forget is when we were going, Jairus' daughter was really sick, and we were heading to see her, and this lady just in the middle of the crowd stopped him, and she had some kind of deal with the blood, and we didn't understand, and I don't know how he knew that she touched him, but he knew it, and the power went out, and she was healed. Do y'all remember that? Colin, do you remember that? It was crazy what that kind of stuff was going on. And then we kept going, and he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I mean, Earl, raised him from the dead. I mean, it was really an incredible thing. And then Chris, do you remember when he entrusted us with power and authority, and he sent us out? And I remember you preaching and healing. I remember that. It was just unbelievable what he did. He trusted in us to do that. And I think maybe my favorite was, and maybe y'all too, I don't know, but that, you know, the the 5,000. Really, maybe it was at 10 or 15,000, maybe 20,000 people he fed. And he only had 5 loaves of bread. That's all he had. Just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And somehow, through his miraculous touch, he was able to do it. And then praying. Oh my gosh, we heard him praying all the time. He was unbelievable. Jesus was just, it was incredible. And his prayers were different. They weren't like the Pharisees and the scribes who were, you know, up on the street corners and loud and all that kind of stuff. And really, it was way beyond what we had learned as kids, right? The childhood prayers. It was way beyond that. So I knew then that I wanted to be able to pray like Jesus. That's what I wanted. And y'all did too. We talked about it. His prayers were different. We wanted a better way. We wanted that zeal that he had and all of those. It was unbelievable. And so I'll never forget the night that he gave us the model prayer. Y'all remember that? Our Father who art in heaven. Wow. That was an incredible thing. And then he gave us some keys. Maybe you remember some of these keys. And the keys, one of them was don't be like the hypocrites. You know, don't stand on the street corner and pray out loud and everybody hear you and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that. In fact, he said just the opposite. Do you remember this, Lars? He said, go into the room, close the door, pray in the secret place in the God, and God will hear. You remember, Lars, you remember this. He said, God will hear our prayers in secret, and then he will reward us openly. I mean, what an incredible thing. So that was some of the keys. Another one, oh my gosh, remember this? Don't babble on. Remember him saying that? Don't babble on like the Pharisees and keep all these vain repetitions. And it was crazy. And then there was this crazy story about the friend at midnight. So we can now step out of character and we're going to start talking. So turn to Luke 11, 5 through 14. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Luke 11, 5 through 14. By the way, we just kind of went through, I think I went back to about Luke 5 and just kind of went through the scripture. And I don't know if you know this, just a little nugget, but Luke is considered the only Bible that was, I mean, the only gospel that was chronological. The other ones kind of mixed in at different times. So that was basically a journey through the disciples' journey with Jesus. So let me read from Luke 11, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. Then Jesus gave us this illustration. He says, imagine what would happen if you were to go to one of your friends in the middle of the night and pound on his door and shout, please, do you have some food that you can spare? A friend just arrived at my house unexpectedly. I don't have anything to give him. Would you please help me? But your friend says, why are you bothering me? The door's locked. My family's asleep. You know, and you want me to get up and give you all that you need. I give you our food. So Jesus then went on and said, because of the shameless persistence, even though it's the middle of the night, your friend will get up out of his bed and give you what you need. So it is with your prayers, he said. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll discover. Knock and the door will be open. And every persistent person will receive what he asked for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Let me ask you this. Do you know of any father who would give his son a snake on a plate when he's asking for a serving of fish? Of course not. Do you know of any father who would give his daughter a spider when she asks for an egg? Of course not. So, if imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask. You know, there's been a lot of sermons and preaching on this, but again, I want to get a little bit, just short little bit of the context. So, number one, hospitality was a big deal in biblical times. His friend coming at the middle of the night was really not unusual because a lot of the travel was done in the cool of the night. They didn't want to walk in the middle of the day, and so he just came unexpectedly. And neighbors shared. That was just kind of a common thing. But still, imagine this, middle of the night interruption. Kids asleep. Some of the scholars say that most of the houses were one room, so you know, you got to get up and walk over the kids and your wife and get them food. So what is Jesus driving at? What's he teaching us about prayer? Number one is he's teaching us that we need to master the art of prayer. Not the mechanics, but the art. And you remember he said, don't be like the hypocrite and just pray, you know, the same thing and over, don't repeat them. Second thing is that the neighbor needed food, right? He was obligated to give his friend food that was traveling. So prayer is really born out of necessity. We need something. So that's an important thing. And the third thing is God loves to be trusted. He loves for us to trust him with our request. Fourth, I think I'm on four, he says he wants us to come boldly, just like a child coming to his father. We can come boldly, but we don't have to be disrespectful and, you know, demanding and stuff like that. We don't have to do that. But we need to come with total confidence because God is not reluctant. He's not reluctant. One of the commentators says, he's not a reluctant God who must be wheedled out of things. That's not God. Instead, he gives willingly and freely without fail to every child who comes. And then a few quick thoughts on the last part of the passage, which is ask, seek, and knock. So asking, when you think about it, is the simplest thing we can do, Todd. It's just asking, and he wants us to ask. But James 4:2 says something really interesting. It says, you have not because you ask not. No. Number one, you got to ask. He expects us to ask. Number two is seeking is not really as simple, right? Seeking it's kind of a searching. You have to really move into it a little bit deeper. It's a process. You want understanding, or you want him to unravel some mystery, or you want guidance on something that you can't get clear in your mind. So seeking is a little bit more than just asking. And then the final one, knocking, requires time and repetition. And it's not really just a simple, it's a series. Romans 1, Paul says, you know, I really want to be with you believers in Rome. That's what he was talking about. He says, you know, I continually mention you in my prayers, always pleading that somehow God's will is that I may come to see you. He's always pleading, and he's continually mentioning them. So, one commentator put it this way. He says, so putting it all together, we are to be persistent in asking God to work in our lives and to answer our prayers according to his perfect will and timing, having confidence that he will do so. When we pray without ceasing and have confidence in God, the benefits are many. We experience the goodness of God as we commune with him. We become eager participants in the purposes of God by yielding our lives and wills to him. We enter into his presence with boldness and security, knowing that he will bless us with his fellowship and love. So our challenge today is to keep asking, keep seeking and keep knocking. And then this. Here's another challenge. I want to make sure that you write and share your own story. I was there when. Share that with somebody. I mean, I've written a lot of these stories, by the way. I was there when God, and I can give you all kind of stories, and I'd love to do that. If you want to talk about it, come see me. We'll go grab a coffee someplace. But I want you to do that, and then I want you to share your story with other folks, your family and other folks. So with that, let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want us to quote, master the art of prayer. You've given us some keys. We hear them, Lord. We hear them, and I just pray that you will help each one of us to pray like you prayed. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great time at your table.